mentally as your eyes are closed. You can open your eyes now. Who feels more thirsty? Because of hearing that, than when I asked you a moment ago. Do? Let's close our eyes again. Heavenly Father, just as we look at your word now, I pray that the effect of your word and your Holy Spirit applying it to us would be like that sound. Lord, I pray you would stir a greater thirst in us for yourself and for your kingdom. Holy Spirit, we just give you permission to move amongst us now. Just as you've been doing, as we've been worshipping, speak to us, stir us, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, that's my prayer this morning. I'm just going to try and keep what I'm sharing really as brief as I can, because I'd like us to have some opportunity to respond and to pray at the end. But so my question is, are you thirsty? Jesus said this, really well-known words to us, aren't they? He said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Jesus' question. It's not my question. It's Jesus' question to us this morning, I believe, is are you thirsty? Are we thirsty? It was a question that Jesus put out there when he was walking on the earth and ministering. And I just want us to notice one thing right now, and it's that thirst is linked to faith. Thirst is linked to faith. Spiritual thirst is linked to what we believe. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, if you're thirsty, come to me. Thirst is linked to faith. Jesus said there is something on offer to us. Streams of living water is how he described it. Something is on offer to those who believe in him. And the trigger to receiving it is thirst. Is spiritual thirst. Spiritual thirst is linked to what we believe. So what are you believing in Jesus for? What are you believing in Jesus for? When we say we believe in Jesus, it's more than just a kind of mental agreement with something, isn't it? What we're saying is, Jesus, we believe in you to such an extent that we want to place our lives in your hands. We're saying to him, Lord, would you please take my life and make of it what only you can make of it? Jesus, I desperately want the fullness of your promises for my life. Father, I ask that you give to me what you have promised, and I choose to surrender my life to your plans and to your desires for me, which I know are good. And I pray that this might bring glory to you because you are worthy. So what are we believing in Jesus for? Well, I just want us to turn for a second to the words of John the Baptist. So the last great prophet got raised up before Jesus came. One that the Old Testament prophet said would prepare the way for Jesus. And John the Baptist said two particular things about Jesus that I hope will just stir us in thinking about what we're believing in Jesus for. The first is this. This is what John the Baptist said about Jesus. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So I know an awful lot of you are trusting in Jesus for this, aren't you? We're trusting in Jesus as our Savior. That through his death and his resurrection, he paid the price for our sin. He paid the penalty for us for our sin. He paid the ransom price to set us free from the powers of sin and death. That he transferred his righteousness to you so that you're clothed in Jesus' perfect record of purity, free from any accusation that might be brought against you, and completely acceptable to God, and that he has made you right with God, and brought you into his adoption as a loving son or daughter of God. So what are we trusting Jesus for? We're trusting that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away our sin, who deals with our sin and makes us right with God, who brings us to a place where we don't deserve to be, but a place that God opens up for us as his sons and daughters. And if you're trusting Jesus for that first thing, that is wonderful, because we're lost without a Savior, aren't we? We're lost. We're trusting Jesus as our Savior. But then John the Baptist also said this about Jesus. He said, "I testify that this is the Son of God, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Are we trusting Jesus as our Savior? Are we trusting for Jesus to be the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit? Because as important as the first is, if we're only trusting in Jesus to be the first and not the second, we're missing out on a huge part of why Jesus came. Because he came not just to redeem us, although we desperately need that, but he came to restore us as well. Not just to position us in the best place that we can be in God's family, but to transmit his power into our lives. Jesus came to pour out, to baptize. It means to saturate, to soak, to immerse us fully with the same Holy Spirit that anointed him, so that his kingdom life might be in us, so that we can rule in life as Jesus ruled in life. So there's two things that John the Baptist identifies: the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Son of God who comes to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. So are you thirsty? Because thirst is linked to what we believe. Do we believe? Are we believing in Jesus for both these two things? I think that's the question. For forgiveness, but also fullness of life. For adoption, but also his anointing. For pardon, but also for power. Are we as thirsty? And I ask myself this, and I've been preparing this week. I've been asking myself, am I as thirsty for Jesus, the one who comes and baptizes in the Holy Spirit, as I am for Jesus, the Savior who takes away my sin? Am I thirsty for the Holy Spirit? Because John, in his gospel, he explains that that's who Jesus was talking about when Jesus said, "Are you thirsty? Then if you believe in me, come and receive, and streams of living water will flow." That's in John 7:39. So that's the question that I just want us to respond to this morning. Are we thirsty? Are we believing and trusting in Jesus as much for him to be the one who baptizes us in his Holy Spirit as we are for him to be the one who saves us from our sins? Because we put all our trust in that, don't we? Are we thirsty for the other as much? I hope so. That's a question that I'm asking myself as well. So, just for a few moments, what I'd like to just talk about is what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the one who came to baptize in the Holy Spirit. What does Jesus say? When he was explaining to his disciples that he was going to have to go away from them, that he was going back to the Father, and he said, "Actually, it's for your good that I go, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit." What does Jesus say to his disciples about the Holy Spirit to back that up, so that we would just have a knowledge of how good the Holy Spirit is, that would just stir our thirst? So we're just going to have a brief look through. And I just want to ask you, are you thirsty for these things? Okay, do you want these things in your life? So what does Jesus tell us about the Holy Spirit? Now, most of this is drawn from John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. We haven't got time to read it through now, but you can go home and read it later, and I would encourage you to do that. So John chapters 14 and 16. So what does Jesus tell us about the Holy Spirit? He says this: he's going to be just like me. What a staggering thing for Jesus to say. to his disciples who love Jesus, who follow Jesus, who would have done anything for Jesus. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is just like me, another helper. And that word another means of the same kind. Jesus says, I'm going away, but when I do, the Holy Spirit is going to come and it's going to be just like having me with you again, all the time, wherever you are, however much you're split up and dispersed. Who wants to have that sense of Jesus with them all the time? Who wants that? So, wow, that's what Jesus said, having the Holy Spirit is like. Jesus says he will be in you. What a great promise that we won't be able to mislay the Holy Spirit. No one will be able to steal him from us. This was Jesus' fulfillment of his promise when he said, I will be with you to the ends of the age. Through my Spirit, the one who is just like me, he will be in you. You will know him. The Holy Spirit won't just be an entity or a thing or a vague theory. Someone that you can get to know. Someone you can build a relationship. Jesus said to his disciples, just as you built a relationship with me and got to know me and to trust me and to love me, to cherish me, you can get to know that same Holy Spirit. Jesus said, and he will make your adoption so real to you. He will give you an unshakable peace and confidence that you are a cherished son or daughter of God. Do you want that? Do you want that? That unshakable confidence and peace that God is your loving Father? Jesus said he will put my life into your life. Who wants the life of Jesus in them? I do. He says he will connect you so deeply to me and to my Father in heaven. He said he'll help you obey. He will give you a new desire and strength to obey all that I've taught you. Not because you have to, but because you want to. Now, a prophecy in the Old Testament from Ezekiel talks about God putting a new heart in us with new desires through his Holy Spirit. Do you want that? Do you find it a struggle sometimes to walk God's way? Do you want strength and a new overwhelming desire in your heart to obey God and everything that he calls you to? Jesus said he'll remind you. Who's forgetful? He said the Holy Spirit will remind you and teach you of everything that I said. I want my mind and my heart to be full of what Jesus says. The truth of what God says about me and about my circumstances and about my life and about his kingdom. Who wants that? I do. He said, he'll bring you my peace. Jesus talked about his peace, said it's not like the world's peace. It's not dependent on your circumstances. It's a peace that cannot be taken from you. Who wants that? Who wants a peace that can't be taken from them by the world? Jesus said, this is what the Holy Spirit will bring to you. He'll speak from the Father. I want to hear what my Father has to say. Don't you? Aren't you hungry to know what God has to say? What he has to say to you? What he has to say about your life? About the problems you're facing? The things you're walking through? Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come and he will speak to you what the Father wants you to hear. He'll give you insight, he said. He'll help you know the things. When you need insight in what's to come, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will give you that. This is a staggering thing. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will share with you all that is mine and all that is the Father's. Let's think about that for a moment. Holy Spirit will share with us everything that is Jesus and the Father's. Give us free access to everything. Holy Spirit wants to share it. He's our guarantee. The one who's going to guarantee the happy ending that we're longing for. That we're going to see Jesus face to face. How Marshall bought that tongue. As we were praying, that prayer in another language, and Lou brought that fabulous interpretation. The thing that was stirring in my heart was just God saying, is face to face. I've created you for face to face. I've saved you for face to face. Draw close. That's what I've made you for. And then Jesus also said, the Holy Spirit's going to clothe you with power to be my witnesses, to love, to serve, to share me with others. Just as the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus to do the work of the Father, so Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would do the same for us. Do we want these things? Do we want these things? Do we want to see God's kingdom come in? Do we want to see the same passion and power that Jesus had to worship and honor his Father, to pray, to stand up for the truth, to stand against injustice, to see the sick healed, to see the lost come to salvation? Is that desire in your heart? Even if it's just a seed, you know, you might think, well, yeah, I think it is. I think that's there. Maybe it's not the most overwhelming thing that I'm feeling at the moment, but is it there in your heart? Is it a seed that God has put in your heart? Because if you're his, then he has. He's put his kingdom in your heart. And you'll have a seed of that planted that he wants to come and immerse, soak with his Holy Spirit as Jesus comes to baptize you. God wants to empower us to be witnesses. John Vaughan was just sharing in the worship about the Kevin's wedding yesterday. Just came and said this to Marshall. Just about as Kevin and Jane took a stand in their wedding about wanting to put God at the center of it, how many people came up to John after the service and were asking questions? As the Holy Spirit was at work. As they were just declaring their love and their faith in Jesus. If you want to hear more, ask John afterwards. This week we had, Anne and I had an evening with some, kind of, not people that I knew well, a couple. Anne used to work with a guy at Sheringham High School. And we've met once or twice. And we just had, out of the blue, they messaged and said, can we meet up with you? We'd love to spend an evening with you. Okay, yeah, we'd love to do that. So it took us a while to organise, but we went and had a drink with them. And just the number of questions that they were asking us. We didn't have to engineer it. In fact, he messaged Anne, because I don't really do Facebook, but he does Facebook, and he said, look, I'm really sorry. I hope Simon didn't feel that we were grilling him about the church yesterday. And I felt like wanting to say, no grill away. That's fine. That's fine. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for these things? Are you? It might not be a feeling. Thirst isn't just about feeling. It's just as we look at what Jesus promises. So we look at what the Bible lays out. Do we think, oh, I want that? Maybe it's things that I don't have all kind of settled in my mind. But there's just something in me, that seed that God's put in me. Actually, golly, I want those things. Do you kind of sometimes look at other people and you kind of think, oh, I wish I had the passion that they had for worship. Or I wish I had their courage for just sharing Jesus with other people. Well, those things are not because of who they are. It's because of who the Holy Spirit is. So if we're longing for that, that's a God-given longing in our hearts for Jesus to be our baptizer in the Holy Spirit. So in a minute, we're going to pray. And anyone that would like to, just going to give an opportunity to ask for this. Very briefly, I just want to make a few points. What might stop us receiving this wonderful gift? Jesus wanting to come and baptize us with his Holy Spirit. So here's just a few simple things. Doubt or unbelief. You might be thinking, I don't know if this is really for me. I don't know if this is really for me. Maybe fear. Are we saying, well, some of the things that I've seen or heard about the Holy Spirit seem a little bit weird and not so wonderful to me? Maybe you've been put off by maybe extremes that you kind of think you've seen in people. Well, I just encourage you, put that to the side. Concentrate on what Jesus is saying. What might stop us receiving this gift? Passivity. This is just the worst thing. We are so laid back. I talk to myself about this. I'm just too laid back for my own good sometimes. Passivity in our lives. What did Jesus say? He said, come to me. If you're thirsty, come to me. Now, that doesn't just mean we come to the front of the church every so often when there's a call to respond to prayer. Jesus is inviting us to come and seek him. And sometimes we just give up on things so easily, don't we? Oh, it just takes a bit too much effort. So passivity can be something. Sometimes there are blockages in our lives. Sometimes there are things that we need to deal with in our lives just to allow the flow of what God wants to do in us to really flow. This doesn't mean that we need to be perfect for God to work in our lives, because otherwise God would never do anything in us, would he? But there is something of that desire to be clean, desire to be right with God. The Bible says we're to be the temples of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit living within us. Do you know, our house needs cleaning regularly, because we do stuff in it and it gets messy. Okay? Now, when you come to my house, or I invite you to my house, okay, I hope you're not expecting that it's always going to be spotless. Okay? But if I never cared about cleaning my house, if I never cleaned my house and it was squalid, what would that say to you about my desire for you to come round and how much I wanted you to feel at home and relaxed within me? So it's just something of that Holy Spirit. God isn't asking us to be perfect, just to have that desire to be clean, to keep coming to him and saying, well, I know my life is not great. Please forgive me. Please make me right with you. Baptism in water. Now, I'm not going to make hard and fast rules about this, other than to say that in Acts, it says, what do? We believe, we repent, we're baptized in water, and then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's just part of that kind of process of coming to receive everything that God has for us. So maybe that's just something to think about. And lastly, now we're gonna pray. So steps then for receiving these gifts, this gift of the Holy Spirit. So those are some of the things that might stop us. What are some of the things that are steps to receiving this gift? Look, feed on God's truth. Really feed on God's truth. If you're in any doubt, if you've got any doubt or unbelief about the Holy Spirit, whether it's for you, whether it's for now, whether it's what God has planned for you, I would encourage you, feed on God's truth. Let it sink deep into your heart and believe it. Read and reread the promises that God makes about his Holy Spirit, about the things that Jesus says about the promise of the Father to be given to us. It's right through the Bible. Ezekiel, Joel, John, Luke, in the Acts, where God says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all people, young and old, men and women. It's going to be for everyone. I'm going to put him in your heart. This promise is for all who God is going to call. That's what the Bible says. Repent, be baptized, and you will receive the promise gift of the Holy Spirit. So let the truth sink deep into your heart. You know, belief and that sense of eager expectation that comes from it is the channel through which God's Spirit loves to move. Remind yourself of the character of God, that God is our Father who gives good gifts. If the gift is coming from our Father, we can believe it's good. Jesus, we trust him, don't we? We trust him for salvation, so we can trust him for this. That as he comes to baptize us in his Spirit, that it is good. Jesus wants to come and minister to us this morning. So feed on God's truth and promises. What's the answer to passivity? It's just to ask earnestly and eagerly. Yeah, pray the promises that you read and reread back to God and just ask him for his gift for you. Maybe if you're really seeking for more of the Holy Spirit, it might be that God just would stir you to pray and fast for a little while. Okay, fasting can just be a really helpful thing. It's not something through which we earn the rewards of God. The Holy Spirit is a gift, not a reward, but it's just a tool that can just open us up to receive more of what God has for us. So we're going to invite anyone who's truly thirsty to come and receive now, and we're going to pray together. And as we do, let's be really active, okay? Actively engage with the Holy Spirit. You know, I've seen some people, when they've asked a prayer for the Holy Spirit, they kind of come and stand with their hands in their pockets. Okay. Now, that's not to criticize, but it's just to say we need to just step into what God has for us. We have to be active in it. If we're wanting God to come and fill us with passion for him and worship him, one of the things that often accompanies the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and again, I'm not going to make a hard and fast rule about it because the Bible doesn't, is the gift of tongues. Now, I don't know if you've experienced that. If you have, it's a wonderful gift. I would encourage everyone to seek it as we seek the baptism in the Spirit. But God doesn't come and force words in another language out of our mouth. It happens as we open our mouth, as we pray in the language that we know, that God will come and put other words that we don't know the understanding and the meaning of in our mind, but we have to speak them out. So we need to be active in it. And then lastly, take active steps of faith. If we want to receive, that's so like that, just taking active steps of faith in worshiping. Even before you feel God's power, I just encourage you, put yourself in a place where we need to receive God's empowering and his presence. So that might be in worship. It might be getting stuck into the word if we want to hear the Father speak to us. Witness. You know, start talking to people about Jesus. Share them what's going on in your life so that the Holy Spirit has that open door to come in and energize and empower and equip. So are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Let's stand together.